Good morning again, everyone. It's a great Sunday morning. It's a great Sunday morning because we're all here and we are all alive, and I'm happy to be sharing with you. When I left you last week, I had shared with you that my parents were up visiting from North Carolina, and we had a wonderful week together. We did. They returned home yesterday morning, and we spent a lot of time this week together. But what I wanted to share with you, even as we go into our message for the morning, is that it has been a very, very busy week for me. I don't know how it's been for many of you, but it's been very busy. My parents were here, so I wanted to make sure that they were accommodated. As many of you are parents, and you'll say, "Oh, don't worry about us, we're fine," which is what they said about 18 times over. But I was very concerned about them while I was at work, you know, just calling, are we going for dinner? So we had a great week and we had a great time, but busy nonetheless. The pastor of my home church also this week, he was gone away on vacation. So when he's gone away, a lot of those responsibilities kind of fall on me, which I'm okay with. And that was busy, taking care of the cares and the concerns of the congregation, making sure that the building was great, that the people were doing well. So that was busy. And then we trudge along a little bit to work at the Christian Healthcare Center. Great, I love it, but busy. Everybody was demanding. They needed something. And I think I started to feel a little bit like Maya and Catherine, right? Holding this ball and thinking, oh, I need somebody to share this weight with me. It's just what seemed to become overwhelming. So as I went throughout the week, I started to think, and Paul came to mind when Paul was talking to the church at Corinth, and he goes into the whole dissertation about this thorn in his flesh. Are you all familiar with that? And talks about Satan has given me a thorn, and I don't know how I'm going to get rid of it. And so what Paul does is he calls out to Jesus, and he just says, you know, this is too much. Can you remove this from me? He asked him three times. Now, my situation this week was not as extreme as Paul's. Again, Paul was on missionary journeys. He was preaching and proclaiming the gospel. He was being persecuted and all of these things. So in this situation, I wouldn't necessarily compare myself to Paul, but I think I was asking Jesus the question, I'm getting weak in this whole, these instances of all that's going on throughout the week. And then what Jesus says to me, as he says to Paul, and to all of us when we feel this heavy burden or this weight, he says that my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you, and it will get you and I through anything it is that we go through. So if you look at the sermon title, what the sermon title says, the strength of God's people. And we might be wondering, well, where are we going with this in terms of the strength of God's people? But the truth is that what I found throughout this week is that if I had to make an addendum to the sermon title, the strength of God's people is actually our weaknesses. The strength of God's people are all of our weaknesses, because it's only in our weaknesses when we remember that Jesus' grace that he's offered us is what's sufficient. So I continue to journey on throughout the week. And what happens sometimes when we journey on, we find ourselves always sharing our witness. We're always sharing our testimony, even when we don't realize it. A lot of times when we go into places, into our workplaces, even in our homes, we are witnesses for Jesus Christ. We might just think we're going into the shopping mall or we're going into the grocery store. But the truth is that the light of Christ that's in all of us shines out in whatever our situations are. So I traveled throughout this week in many different situations, and I thought, oh boy, I hope people see God strengthen me, which is my weakness, because I really am feeling pretty weak. We go on and we travel throughout the week, and then I stumble upon our scripture for today, which is coming from the book of Acts. And in this book of Acts, I think about the journey that Paul and Barnabas went on. But if we talk about Paul first, we all know Paul had this radical conversion, that Jesus spoke to him and he had this whole miraculous conversion experience. And what happened was Paul started to travel along with the other apostles, Paul, Silas, Barnabas, went through all of them, and they started to travel and share the good news of the message of Jesus Christ. When we get here in Acts chapter 15, they had been traveling, and what happened was they had stumbled upon some Jewish people, the Jerusalem Council, who were trying to distort the message that they were sending and that they were teaching. Paul and Barnabas became very offended, and they let these new converts, the Gentiles, know, don't let anything separate you from the word that we've shared with you and the gospel that was proclaimed to you. Paul and Barnabas were trying to strengthen these new converts. And what I thought about when I thought about myself this week, I thought, Cheryl, even in all that you had to do, how were you strengthening someone else? Because you definitely had to be doing that in your weakness. If you think about yourselves throughout the week in your homes, at your jobs, even here at church, how have you strengthened through your conversation, through your willingness to help someone else? How have you strengthened another one of your brothers and sisters in Christ? Or have you? Or have we? When I look at Acts chapter 15, and it says in the beginning of verse 30, again, remember that Paul has been opposed. They've even stoned Paul at a certain point because he was proclaiming this gospel, and they thought he was dead, but he wasn't. He was brought back to life. He played dead, was brought back to life, and continued to spread the gospel message. They're continuing to encourage the Jerusalem council, and verse 30 says, then they being sent off, they went down to Antioch, and after gathering the assembly, they delivered the letter. This letter was to the church at Antioch to say, don't let anyone turn you away from the message that you've already heard. Again, they're continuing to strengthen them and to let them know that, no, this message that you've heard about Jesus Christ is that of salvation. Verse 31 says, when they read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. Both Judas and Silas, who were also prophets themselves, encouraged the brothers and strengthened them with a long message. So what happened again in this chapter, right before, as Paul and as Barnabas were sharing, they encouraged other men to continue to take on this message, and that was in Judas and Silas. They trained them, they had walked with them, and they said, we want you to take this message that we proclaim on to another church, on to share with other Christians, on to share with even those who don't believe. After spending some time there, they were sent back in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas, along with many others, remained in Antioch, teaching and proclaiming the message of the Lord. After some time had passed, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the brothers in every town where we have preached the message of the Lord and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take along John Mark, but Paul did not think it appropriate to take along this man who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to do the work. This is the part where it stuck out to me. This is the part where I thought, as long as I, again, like Maya and Catherine, as long as we carry the weight of Christianity, of our cares, and all of these things, we think that we can carry the weight of the world. But what do we do in terms of Christianity when it's up to us as a church body to share the good news of the message of Jesus Christ? What happens when among us we have some disagreements or we have some confrontations? Where does our strength lie? When you don't agree with me and I don't agree with you and I don't like the way you did this or you don't like the way I did that, where does our strength as Christians lie? I thought about that also yesterday because I had somewhat of an experience yesterday. I attended a workshop, and I was there to support one of my sisters in Christ as she conducted this workshop, and we had a little bit of an embarrassing moment. The embarrassing moment was such that I was sitting at the table with another one of the persons in the workshop, and the lady next to me in the workshop was really excited, so she would ask me a few questions every once in a while. And I would try to answer her and encourage her, you know, about her excitement. So what happened was the person running the conference asked us if we would please move our seats. I said, whoa, right away. So again, I'm going back to the strength. And she asked us, she said, would you two just please move your seats? Now, mind you, I've been a youth pastor for quite some time, and I'm even mindful when I ask children to do certain things. I am. I really am, because children are people, too. And a lot of times we do things to share with them and to correct them, but I am mindful that they are growing adults and they will be adults one day or young teenagers. So I'm very mindful of my tone and what I say and how I say it. But when I go back to our strengths and our weaknesses, one of my weaknesses is that I don't like being embarrassed, particularly when it's something that I didn't really deem necessary. But never mind, Cheryl, because we're in a Christian workshop. We're all getting something out of this. And the young lady who was sitting next to me, she was devastated. I wish you all could have seen her face. She was so embarrassed. And she starts to gather her things very quickly. And I say to her, no, no, don't worry about it. I'll go. I said that because I had to be mindful that whenever we speak to people, even as Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Peter and James and all of those in this chapter were going out to share the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's important that new converts, people who aren't as maybe as seasoned as some of us are in Christ, it's important how we behave before them. Now, again, it's not for you and I, Carol, to decide who's right and who's wrong right now. My importance is that this young lady who's sitting next to me is restored, that she's not discouraged by the experience that we just had, even though my sister really didn't mean any harm. But it's too late. We're sitting among all of these people. What are we going to do? So I gather my things, and I move my seat. And I'm thinking, I'm going to get her when this is all over. I'm going to say to her, you cannot do that, especially when you don't know the situation. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter. When I think about Paul and I think about Barnabas, it says in verse 36, after some time had passed, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the brothers in every town where we have preached the message of the Lord to see how they're doing. The truth is, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is that sometimes we all travel and we walk along this journey as a church body or congregation so long, we get very used to one another. We get very used to one another's strengths and our weaknesses, the things that annoy us and the things that we rejoice about with one another. But a lot of times we get very comfortable, which is a good thing. But what we have to remember is that a lot of times there may be people who are in the midst of us who are not as strong in their faith, who don't know as much about this Jesus thing as many of us do. So we have to be mindful of our behavior. Whenever I've heard this passage taught or preached, a lot of times I hear about, why did Paul send Mark away? And why did this one and that one? So it goes on. Barnabas wanted to take along John Mark. Now, mind you, John Mark was the nephew of Barnabas. So it's been argued that there's been some partiality. But Paul did not think it appropriate to take along this man who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to do the work. If we travel back to Acts chapter 3, we hear about how John Mark left. He left them when they were on one missionary journey. He just left. It doesn't say why. There have been many commentaries that say why. Much speculation, but we don't know why. My concern is this. My concern is that as Paul and Barnabas were setting out to share this gospel message of Jesus Christ and sharing among all of these new converts who they were really, Paul and Barnabas had just had this drag out, knockout fight with the Judaizers saying, don't teach these new converts or these Gentiles about idolatry. Don't teach them about circumcision and that you have to be circumcised. Jesus has saved all of us by grace, and this is the message of the gospel that we're preaching, and we're not going to allow you, the Jerusalem Council, to distort that. I get through all of that, but what I think about is in my mind is, how do we dispute with one another before those who aren't necessarily Christians, or who may be new to the faith, or haven't been Christians as long as we have? How do we get along? That's what I saw in this verse. Because then what it says is that Paul didn't think it appropriate to take along this man who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to do the work. Verse 39 says, there was such a sharp disagreement that they parted company, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed off to Cyprus. Then Paul chose Silas and departed after being commended to the grace of the Lord by the brothers. Now, as we all know, the work of the Lord will go on. As Christians, whether I do my part or you do your part, the work of the Lord will continue. Paul and Barnabas both took two separate paths. But imagine how much work that they could accomplish together. Imagine how much work, how much ground they could have tread and covered if they decided to work out their dispute or their disagreement and continue to travel on together. I'll take you back to my workshop yesterday. I moved my seat. I already told you all I gathered my things. and moved my seat. But what I knew right away is what the Bible tells me. If we have an ought against our brother or our sister, we have to share it with them. And we don't want to let the sun go down on our wrath or our anger or our disappointment or our embarrassment. So what I did after the night was over, I gave it some time, but I had to give my sister a call, and we had a great conversation. But what I had to share with her is whether I was right or wrong, or whether she was right or wrong, there are certain behaviors that we cannot display among one another in the midst of the community of people who God has called us to minister to. Now, when I say the words God has called us to minister to, a lot of times people, again, think that's for the minister, that's for the preacher, the teacher, the pastor, the minister of word and sacrament. No, that principle is also for the Christian, even for young Christians, even for boys and girls. There are certain weights that we share in this walk, and we have to know that we share them together. If I have to carry this half and you have to carry this half, the whole has to be upheld because we have a greater work to do. She and I shared the conversation, but what I thought of when I thought of both Paul and Silas departing, I'm sorry, Paul and Barnabas departing from one another, I thought, wow, these men had been on these missionary journeys, they had traveled, they had shared the good news of the message of Jesus Christ, and one little sharp dispute or disagreement can kind of undo that depending on who you're before. We have to make sure that God's people are restored, and we have to make sure that we restore one another. The verse concludes, Paul chose Silas and departed, and after being commended to the grace of the Lord by the brothers, he traveled through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. If we continue on throughout the next several chapters in the book of Acts, we find Mark again, and they travel together again. But in my mind, and I never try to amend what the gospel says, but I wondered how they got back together. I wondered if when they got back together, the people who may have been present and saw them go through this great sharp dispute, I wonder how they were affected. I wondered if I had not gotten up and removed myself from the situation yesterday, how this young woman would have been affected. How her embarrassment might have taken over her. How she may have said, you know what? Maybe I'll let this Christian thing go for a little while. But what my hope is because of my weakness and also my humility to say, you know what? As they say in the sports world, I'll have to take the L on this one and we'll talk about it later. Because my witness and your witness is of more importance to the cause of the whole body. I conclude today's lesson and today's scripture reading with these words from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, who, as many of us might know, were having many problems. But what he says in verse 7 of chapter 4, he says this. Now we have this treasure in clay jars, so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. We are pressured in every way, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not abandoned. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. We always carry the death of Jesus in our own body so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who live are always given over to death because of Jesus, so that Jesus' life may also be revealed in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, in keeping with what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, Paul says. We also believe, and therefore we speak. We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and present us with you. Indeed, everything is for your benefit, so that grace extended through more and more people may cause thanksgiving to increase to God's glory. Therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outward person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And what I say to you all, and even to myself this morning, that The strength of God's people is indeed all of our weaknesses. And we are weak so that God and Jesus Christ may be lifted up, so that somebody else may believe, so that someone else might be saved, and so that we all together may experience this eternal weight of glory in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we say thank you again for this morning, for this word that I believe has spoken to all of us. It has humbled some of us. It has probably made a few of us, it has challenged a few of us. But we ask that no matter what, God, that we will continue to go forward in the work that you have all of us to do, again as individuals, but then as a congregation. We thank you for your words, and we're asking these things again in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.